Yo, what is up YouTube? It's your boy T-Hatch coming back at you with another video. Today, as you can see in the title, we're going to be talking about the NBA Finals, more specifically talking about the Lakers absolutely dominating the Heat in Game 6, securing LeBron James his fourth ring from the NBA Finals, his fourth trophy, his fourth Finals MVP, and so much more. We're going to get into that very briefly here. But first, I want to focus on Anthony Davis. He absolutely dominated in Game 6 and would not be denied. This was the challenge I had for Anthony Davis coming after, I believe it was Game 4, I believe, where he just had an atrocious night, just absolutely terrible night for Anthony Davis, was struggling with foul trouble, wasn't able to score, wasn't able to really do much of anything out on the court in that game. And afterwards, I had kind of put out a challenge like, hey, Anthony Davis, if you are who you're telling us that you are, well, you're not going to come out here and let the Heat stop you from doing what you do. Big men dominate. That's what they do. So if you want to be one of the best big men of the current NBA of all time, you've got to go out there and dominate. Well, he absolutely did that and did that to another level in Game 6. Anthony Davis would not be denied on either end of the court. Any rebound he decided was his, it was. It was his. Any shot that he wanted to deny, he did. Any bucket that he wanted to score, he took straight from the Heat. Didn't matter. That is how a big man takes over a basketball game. It is pure mental and physical domination. It is deciding, I want this rebound. I'm bigger than every other motherfucker out here on this court. So guess what? It's my rebound. And if you go and act like that and go get it, that's what Anthony Davis did in Game 6. When you do that, nobody can stop you if you are this type of dominant big man who has the skill, who has the size, who has all of the traits. All you have to do is decide that you want it and it is yours. That's how Shaq dominated. That's how Hakeem dominated. That's how all the great big men in NBA history dominated. They decided that they wanted to. It's that simple sometimes. And Anthony Davis seemed to figure that out in Game 6. It didn't matter what Miami wanted to run on offense. Anthony Davis had a dang answer on defense. Didn't matter who they wanted to throw at Anthony Davis when the Heat were on defense, Anthony was on offense. Didn't matter. Davis took what he wanted. He got what buckets he wanted. There was a rebound coming down the stretch that was hotly contested. There were two guys right on top of Anthony Davis trying to get that ball. Didn't matter. He boxed them both out while he was bobbling this rebound around, caught it, and finished with strength, anger, and dominance. This is what I want to see out of a big man. This is how I want to see you dominate. This is what I want to see Anthony Davis be every game for the rest of his damn career. Now, obviously, that's a little bit unrealistic to expect a big man to go out and absolutely dominate physically and mentally for 82 games a year, then do it in the playoffs. And yeah, that's too much. I get it. But man, if we can get more of these kind of performances out of Anthony Davis, if we can get to the next time that he and the Lakers are in the playoffs where he has almost every game like this versus it being few and far between, one here and there, oh my goodness. At that point, we'd have to start talking about Anthony Davis potentially being the best player in the league, not just the best big man. So definitely, definitely good for Lakers fans and any fans of great high-level basketball to see Anthony Davis finally step up and dominate the way that we know and he knows he is capable of doing. So really good to see that. Now, that said, in this year's playoffs, Anthony Davis was who he is and always has been and always will be. In the playoffs, Davis averaged 27.7 points, 9.7 rebounds, and 3.5 assists per game, which is slightly above his regular season average this year of 26.1 points, 9.3 rebounds, and 3.2 assists per game. So, didn't really increase much in the playoffs, a slight uptick in all of those numbers, but not much, about the same guy. And you know, you're thinking, okay, maybe that's a little bit less than it typically is because he's on the Lakers now playing with LeBron. Not the case. For his career, he's averaging 25.4 points, 10.6 rebounds, and 2.5 assists per game. I'm taking out his rookie season there for obvious reasons. So this is who Anthony Davis has been nearly his entire career. This is just the first time we've been able to see it on an NBA Finals stage. So Anthony Davis did not take a leap when he played with LeBron James. Anthony Davis did not take a leap in the playoffs, did not take a leap in this final series. He just continued to be a great dominant big man. Now you may hear 25, 10, and 2.5 and think, okay, well, I mean, that's dang good, but is that really elite? Is that, you know, legend status? Is he supposed to be this absolutely dominant big man with those numbers? Well, those numbers put Davis right alongside guys like Shaq, Patrick Ewing, Hakeem Olajuwon, and more. So he is in elite legendary territory when it comes to his numbers. Now he is adding the rings that are going to put his resume in a place where we can consider Anthony Davis one of the greatest big men of all time. So it's pretty easy to normalize what just happened. We watched them, you know, absolutely dominate the Miami Heat. And playing alongside LeBron James, who is in some people's eyes the greatest player of all time, you know, it puts Anthony Davis in this weird situation where I don't feel like people are actually appreciating the greatness of Anthony Davis at this moment. Obviously, a lot of people are talking about him as a top five player in the NBA. People talk about, you know, Anthony Davis versus Giannis, who's better. But nobody's really putting into context how Anthony Davis is absolutely dominating the NBA right now, putting up numbers that we typically would associate with legend status big men. And all of the credit seems to be going straight to LeBron James. Now, credit to LeBron James for crediting Anthony Davis in his speech there after he won the finals MVP, you know, talking about how great he was, what he's doing for this Lakers team and what they've been able to bring out of him, although what they brought out of him was what he was already bringing. So, you know, take that for what it is from LeBron. But let's not take Anthony Davis for granted, because this is one of the greatest big men of all time at the height of his powers, winning championships right now. So let's put some respect on Anthony Davis's name. He earned it this year. He earned it with that Game 6 performance. And by the looks of things, he's going to continue to go out and earn it through the rest of his career, because that's what he's done up to this point. This is just the first time he's actually been on a competitive roster with enough talent around him to actually help him get to the NBA Finals and be able to win a ring and show what he can do. He definitely showed it this year because he was who he's always been, which is a legend status big man. So enough loving Anthony Davis there. Gonna move on to LeBron James, and obviously a lot of the conversation around this championship win for LeBron specifically has been about his legacy, about the long term, about the GOAT conversation, because at this point that's really the only thing that LeBron James has yet to capture is being the consensus GOAT. Obviously, anybody who watched basketball in the 90s is going to tell you till they're blue in the face how great Michael Jordan was and how nobody is ever going to be greater than Michael Jordan. Oh, he had 6-0 in the finals. Nobody's going to be better than that. Settle down, settle down. all the LeBron people going out here saying, it's undeniable now. LeBron's the greatest of all time. No question after this ring. Settle down, settle down. I think what people need to realize about this GOAT debate is that it's just that, it's a debate. You know, I think we should look at the words of the late, great Kobe Bryant when he said he will not engage in a debate because that is not something he can definitively win. Now, I think it's a little bit overboard to say I'm not going to engage in any debate, period, that's it. Because obviously, debate's fun. Debate keeps a lot of this going. We're essentially having a debate right now, me professing how great I believe Anthony Davis was in this final series, in this playoffs, and in his career. You know, some people may disagree, and we're going to have that conversation, we're going to have that discussion, and that's what makes it fun. So there is value to be had in having that discussion, but I think Kobe points out something great there, especially when it comes to the GOAT conversation, which is that there is no definitive winner, and there never will be. When it comes to the GOAT, if you want to, you know, call the dominance that Michael Jordan had when it came to statistical dominance, dominance over winning during his era, during his peak, yeah, Michael Jordan's probably going to be your GOAT, because I don't think any one particular time LeBron James was as dominant and as much of a specter as Michael Jordan was during those two three-peats that he had. So if dominance is your thing, Michael Jordan's probably your GOAT. Well, if rings is your thing, Bill Russell is probably your GOAT. If stats is your thing, Wilt Chamberlain, maybe. Maybe LeBron, if you want to go total stats. If you want to go longevity, you're talking about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You're talking about LeBron again. If you want to go personal individual accolades, you're probably talking about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So it just depends on what you value. Tell me what you value, I'll tell you who your GOAT is. That's essentially what this conversation comes down to, is not who is the greatest player of all time, but what do you as an individual value more than anything else? That's who your GOAT's going to be. It's pretty much that simple, and that's what it's boiled down to at this point. So I think sitting here trying to say LeBron is the greatest of all time, or Jordan is still the greatest of all time, is kind of pointless. To me, what's more valuable is recognizing that LeBron James, during his era, during this time, is unquestionably the best, the greatest, most dominant, whatever way you want to put it, the best player of this era, without question. Same thing is true of Michael Jordan, and you can even say in between there, Kobe Bryant. Same thing was true of Wilt Chamberlain way back in his day. Same thing was true of Bill Russell. Same thing was true of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So once we get to that point where we know, okay, these are the guys who are unquestionably better than everybody else, no matter what anybody did, they were going to dominate. Okay. Now what? Now we're going to sit here and argue between these guys, try and equate what LeBron is doing in 2020 and the 2010s to what Jordan did in the 90s, to what Magic and Bird did in the 80s, and so on and so forth. They're not necessarily comparable eras. They're not necessarily comparable games. Basketball has evolved a ton over the decades and is in many ways a completely different game than it used to be, and of course in many ways the same exact game that it's always been. So comparing stats across eras, comparing accolades across eras, comparing greatness across eras doesn't have much of a point to me. To me, the greater point comes in saying, yeah, these guys that we saw play against each other, LeBron James versus Kevin Durant, who was the better guy? Obviously, by the end of this era, we've seen it's LeBron James. You know, I don't see the point in saying, well, this guy who was unbelievably great and unquestionably better than everybody else he ever played against, is he better than this other guy who was unquestionably great and always better than everyone else he ever played against? Well, what's the point? They never played against each other. We're not going to know. They didn't play the same game. They didn't have the same rules. They didn't have the same advantages. LeBron James has better technology today than Wilt Chamberlain had in his day. The pace in Wilt Chamberlain's day was way higher than the pace was in Michael Jordan's era. So it's not comparable. What we should do is recognize that LeBron, Michael Jordan, so on and so forth, were the unquestionably greatest player of their era. Unquestionably better than everybody else that they ever played against. So instead of sitting here and you know, splitting hairs between these two absolutely amazing basketball players, let's just love them for who they are. I love going back and watching replays of Michael Jordan absolutely dominating the NBA. I don't love the ones where he dominates my Jazz, but that's a whole nother thing. I love watching LeBron James dominate the NBA. again, I don't love that he dominates my team sometimes, but he doesn't have the greatest track record against the Jazz. Probably because he doesn't try. But sitting here having this argument between what little thing are we going to use to diminish this guy versus that guy is pointless. Let's love them for who they are. Let's love their careers for what they were. And let's appreciate the greatness of both of these great NBA players and recognize that them, along with Kareem, along with Wilt, along with Bill Russell, are the greatest players in NBA history. That's simple. Now, when we want to look at LeBron James' legacy and what this does mean for his legacy, well, this is now 10 finals appearances in 17 seasons, so that is well above 50% when it comes to getting to the NBA Finals, which is absolutely amazing. LeBron is now 4-6 in the NBA Finals. So yeah, he does have two more losses than he's got wins, but he's been to 10 NBA Finals. Jordan only went to 6, just keep that in mind. He's now got 4 Finals MVPs for 3 different teams. Now, remember, not too long ago, Colin Cowherd was saying that that Kawhi Leonard is going to vault into being a top 5 all-time player if he won this year with the Clippers and got a Finals MVP and was the first guy ever to do it with 3 different teams. You know who that was also the case for? LeBron James, the guy who was already in the GOAT discussion, the guy who is already basically undeniably a top 2 greatest player in NBA history. So cool it on Kawhi Leonard, Colin, but just put that into perspective. This was hanging over the season all year. Nobody even talked about it because of the rest of LeBron James' legacy and his resume that makes that kind of just a one point of many as opposed to one of the key things that's going to hold him up as one of the top 5 greatest of all time, which Colin Cowherd felt like he should argue for Kawhi Leonard. So four Finals MVPs with 3 different teams. He also has 4 regular season MVPs. He is a 13-time first team All-NBA selection. 13 out of 17 years, he was a first team All-NBA player. So for 13 of his 17 years, it has been recognized that LeBron James is one of the top 5 NBA players on the planet for 13 out of the 17 last years. Absolutely astonishing. He's got 5 all-defensive first teams during that span. He is a 16-time All-Star with 3 All-Star MVPs. He is 3rd all-time in scoring at 34,241 points, only behind Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at 38,387, and Karl Malone at 36,928. Both of those numbers are within reach for LeBron James. LeBron is also 8th all-time in assists at 9,346. Now, if I project his assists, which is, this is pretty rudimentary math, it doesn't project exactly, I understand that, taking his average of 10.2 this year over the next 2 years, which he is still signed on contract, that would give him an additional 1,673 assists, which would put his total to 11,019. Which would be good for 3rd place all time. So if LeBron can keep up his pace on assists, he would be 3rd place all time in assists. So you're talking about a guy who potentially could be number 1 in scoring all time, potentially could be number 3 in assists all time. A guy who's been to 10 finals in 17 seasons, 4 regular season MVPs, 4 finals MVPs. Holy cow. Holy cow. The resume for LeBron James is getting so long, so impressive, that it's starting to lose its luster of even talking about it. Explaining all the things that LeBron James has done gets redundant to a point because it's just like, all right, we get it. He has absolutely dominated this era. And I think it's unquestionable. If it was not for the dynasty that is the Golden State Warriors, the only team to win more games than Michael Jordan's Bulls, if it was not for that dynasty being in his way, where would LeBron James be? Would he have two more finals on this, making it 6-4 instead of 4-6? Sheesh. Because I'll tell you this about Michael Jordan. He played some good teams. He came through when it counted. But he never played a team like that Warriors team. He did not play a team like that Warriors team because his team was that Warriors team in his era. And, you know, credit to Michael Jordan for being a part of that, being the centerpiece of that, being the guy that that was built around. You know, there's some credit where credit's due. 2 three-peats, can't discredit that. But he never played against that absolute dynasty that just would not die like LeBron had to go against up against the Warriors. Now, that said, should he be losing to the Dallas Mavericks while he's with the Miami Heat? No, he shouldn't. Even that San Antonio Spurs team, you know, they still had Tim Duncan, they still had Parker, they still had Ginobili, they had Kawhi Leonard. But this was a young version of Kawhi Leonard. This was really the first time that we were seeing him as the Kawhi Leonard that we know him as now. So he was not as great as he is now. Tim Duncan, he was getting pretty darn old, getting close to his way out. Same with Tony Parker and Ginobili. So he probably should have won that one, although you can see why he didn't. So it is with LeBron splitting hairs on what some of these finals should have been wins, shouldn't have been wins, could have been, couldn't have been. But unlike Michael Jordan, he didn't take years off. Unlike Michael Jordan, you know, he actually made NBA finals before he would get knocked out. I think this whole idea that you have to be undefeated in the finals is pretty asinine in my opinion. So it's better to get eliminated earlier in the playoffs than it is to get eliminated in the finals? That makes no sense to me. So Michael Jordan can go get tossed out in one of the first three rounds, and that's somehow better for his legacy than if he had gotten all the way to the finals. Doesn't make sense in my opinion. But at the end of the day, it's just my opinion. This is a debate. The GOAT debate is just that. Opinions at the end of the day. So we can look at the facts, like LeBron's resume, like Michael Jordan's resume, but at the end of the day, who's the greatest out of those two? It's just your opinion, and you're entitled to that opinion. So all that out the way, that finishes what I had to say about LeBron James there. He was absolutely dominant in this finals. He was absolutely dominant through these playoffs. And he has been dominant his entire career as one of the greatest players to ever play the game of basketball. Put some respect on this man's name. All right, that out the way. Now I want to start talking about the Miami Heat. Excuse me, my apologies. So what do I want to talk about with the Miami Heat, the team that just got absolutely dominated, wiped off the floor in Game 6? Well, what I actually want to talk about is how Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat are just getting started and they're not going anywhere. No, no, no. So this was a quote-unquote breakout series for Jimmy Butler. I only put that in quotes there because I believe that this is who Jimmy Butler has always been. This is what he has always shown himself to be. It's just the first time that he's been with an organization that actually wants a player who wants to work hard and push other players to work hard. What's going on in Minnesota, Chicago, and Philadelphia? Anyway, leaving that aside, Jimmy Butler absolutely broke out to the point where the average fan of basketball, the average person just tuning in, now knows his name and now knows how great he can be. NBA fans who do know Jimmy Butler, who follow the NBA, and maybe got a twisted perception of who this guy was because of the last three teams that he played for before ending up in the right spot in Miami. Yeah, a lot of them thought that Jimmy Butler was just a problem. He was going to be a constant chemistry problem no matter what team that he went to, and it was never going to work with Jimmy Butler. He would come in and blow up your team. that was the reputation that Butler had. No longer. No longer. People finally understand that this is one of, if not the, hardest working players in the NBA, as well as a guy who just simply has, really, in my opinion, the best competitive fire out of any player in the NBA right now. A lot of people, when they talk about dog, when they talk about Mamba mentality, things like that, they bring up Russell Westbrook. And I can see why they bring up Russell Westbrook, but I don't agree with them. I think what Russell Westbrook is a guy who plays his best, or quote-unquote best, when he's hyped up, when he is just chomping at the bit, ready to go. The problem with a guy like Russell Westbrook is you will see a couple years back, let me use this as an example, playing against the Utah Jazz in the playoffs back when they had Ricky Rubio. So Ricky Rubio outplays him in game one and I believe game two as well. And Russell Westbrook starts hearing the media talking about this. So he gets absolutely fired up, comes out in the next game, and I think had like two or three dumb fouls on Ricky Rubio and jacked up a bunch of terrible shots in that game because he's out there trying to prove that he's better than Ricky Rubio instead of just playing the damn game and being better than Ricky Rubio. You know, he got caught up in this whole mind game within the game. That's not Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler, no matter how many shots he took, cheap shots, whatever it was throughout this entire series, every time he would get up off the ground, he wasn't up in somebody's face, he wasn't yelling about it, he wasn't doing all that. No, he was laser focused. What do I have to do now? Did I just draw a foul, drive into the rim? Yeah, let's get focused and hit these free throws. I don't care that that D-bag, catch myself there. I don't care that this guy just whacked me across the forearm, whacked me on the head, anything like that. I'm going to go make these free throws, put 2 points on the board so my team can win this game. I'm going to play 48 minutes tonight because that's what my team needs to win this game. Doesn't matter to Jimmy Butler. Whatever the circumstances are, whatever gets thrown his way, he's going to take it head on and attack it. Attack it with full focus, straight focus toward his goal and determination to accomplish that goal. That's what makes Jimmy Butler different. He doesn't care if LeBron James comes out and has a triple-double. He's not worrying about, oh, I gotta get one more bucket than LeBron James got this game. Oh, I gotta get an extra rebound over LeBron James this game. Oh, I gotta get another assist than LeBron this game because I gotta show everybody that I'm better than LeBron. Nah, he doesn't care about that. What's he want? He wants to win the game. Period. That's it. Let me go out, do what I have to do to get a win, and that's it. I'm gonna call it a day. That's Jimmy Butler. I'm gonna work my butt off to make my goals come true. That's it. That's Jimmy Butler. And I absolutely love that. I love players like that. Give me some more Jimmy Butler. Nom, 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 nom. Send him to the Jazz. I'll take him. I'll take Jimmy. He's the man. He's the man. He's got that dog mentality. Now, something else I want to point out with Jimmy Butler is he had two triple-doubles in games 3 and 5, and he had two near triple-doubles in games 2 and 4, although games 1 and 6, he was pretty bad. Jimmy is the only player in finals history, besides LeBron James, to have multiple 30-point triple-doubles in a finals series. So I just got done talking about how dominant, how amazing LeBron James is. Only player to ever have multiple 30-point triple-doubles in a final series, well, Jimmy Butler just matched that. Jimmy Butler is an absolute beast. You know, give or take an extra 2 rebounds, an extra 1 assist on 2 of those games, he would have had 4 triple-doubles this series. So essentially, what it came down to for the Miami Heat was either Jimmy Butler is going to triple-double and save you this game, that'll give you a chance to win, or he's not, and you're going to lose. He didn't in games 1 and 6. They lost. So really, really interesting to watch what Jimmy Butler was able to do, but I absolutely love the dog mentality from Butler, and especially how he has been able to transfer that to the rest of this Miami Heat team. You see what guys like Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, even Kendrick Nunn have picked up from that attitude. They go out into the game ready to do what their coach asks of them when it's asked of them, and be able to step up into the big moments when they need to. I think I saw a lot of great things out of this Miami Heat team, and a lot of which, of course, stem from that Miami Heat culture. Pat Riley, obviously, they have been amazing for years in Miami, but it's hitting a new level now that they've got that guy in Jimmy Butler, who is, one, able to be the most talented player on the team, two, able to be the most energetic player on the team, and three, able to be the emotional leader of that team. It is incredibly valuable to have one person who can do all three of those things at the same time, because it makes him an incredibly valuable leader out there on the floor. It is incredibly valuable for a team to have a player who is echoing the same sentiments as the coach. Because a lot of times you can hear a coach in your ear saying something, and as a player, you're like, but does he really know what he's talking about? Like, is that real? Is that what we're actually, you know, what the real deal is? Or is he just blowing some smoke? You know, it can go in one ear and out the other. But if you've got that player there, especially if they're your best player, echoing everything that that coach is telling you, then you have to accept that as a role player on this team, as a young player on this team, and say, okay, I'm going to take every piece of advice that comes from that coach, because Jimmy Butler, the guy that I'm watching dominate our games, is following that advice and it's working. So guess what? I'm going to follow that advice. I'm going to follow Jimmy's advice. We're going to do this. That's what can happen when you have a guy like Jimmy Butler in such a great culture like Miami, where it's just this perfect match made in heaven, where they both bring out the greatest things in each other. And that is incredibly powerful, especially considering that Jimmy Butler, he ain't going anywhere. He's not as old as LeBron. He ain't done after this. So what do I want to look at next? Well, I think the Miami Heat have great potential to improve. That starts with Bam Adebayo, their young center, their second all-star, who is only going to improve as he gets older, as he gets better. Give me a second for some water. I am dying. Thank you for bearing with me. Don't know what the heck is going on there. But talking about Bam Adebayo, I believe he is only going to get better than he is right now. This year, he averaged 15.9 points, 10.2 rebounds, and 5.1 assists in the regular season, and slightly bumped his scoring average to 17.9 in the playoffs. Other than that, he was basically the same guy. But as an athletic defender who is just starting to show his shooting touch, Bam can only go up from here. He will continue to improve on the defensive end as he gets smarter, and while he continues to improve his skill set and consistency on the offensive end. That's a big thing, improving his consistency. Now, what I want to see out of Bam Adebayo is, one, of course, continuing to learn and develop on the defensive end of the floor. I think Miami is the perfect place for him to be in that regard. Eric Spoelstra has been able to put together multiple different times throughout his tenure great top 10 NBA defenses, so I see no problems there for Bam's development on the defensive end of the floor. When it comes to the offensive side, Bam is already really good and a highly skilled player for the center position. What we've seen this year is they kind of unlocked Bam as almost this kind of point center type guy, where they would run this dribble handoff attack through Bam Adebayo, ran it a ton in the finals as well, where he can either, of course, do the dribble handoff up top there, but a lot of times what he'll end up doing is kind of ripping the ball out of that handoff and going and making plays with it. So then it becomes almost like this short roll situation where he's already got the ball in his hands. He's got a dribble. He's got a step on his defender. You know, now all he's got to do is make a play with the ball. Are they going to let me get to the rim and get a layup on this? Shouldn't do that. So if they cover it, where's the open man? Boom, hit him. Bam Adebayo was great with that this year. So if he adds to that an incredible shooting touch, which he has shown, he's shown flashes of this amazing shooting touch. I think given a couple years and some practice, he might even be able to stretch his range out to three-point range. So now we're talking about a guy who can shoot, who can pass, who can dribble, who's fast, athletic, smart, big, strong. Like, holy cow. That sounds like an all-star center to me, which he already is. That sounds like an all-NBA center to me. which he very well could be. So Bam's going to keep improving. Bam's only going to get better from here. Can the Miami Heat get better around Bam and Butler? I think they can. I think they can. One, Tyler Hero, Kendrick Nunn, guys like that are going to continue to improve as they are here on this Heat team, developing, growing, getting into their prime. They're only getting better. Duncan Robinson is only getting better. This is his first year in the NBA, so he's going to get better. On top of that, the Heat are going to have $33 million in cap space this offseason. So they may use a big old chunk of that to re-sign Goran Dragic as he is expiring. But considering his age, considering his injury history, especially recently, they may choose to move on from Dragic. They also have pretty movable contracts in Andre Iguodala at $15 million and Kelly Olynyk at $12 million, respectively. That Olynyk contract is a player option, so there is a chance that he declines that option and goes into free agency. However, for Olynyk, I don't really see him getting $12 million anywhere else. As far as an annual number, I could see him getting in the range of $6 to $10 million if you get a team that's really willing to pay him. So at that point, he may consider, maybe I come back to Miami for a year at $12 million and then hit free agency next offseason. That could be a potential option for Olynyk. So I see him picking up that player option. So you do have that $12 million on the roster. Obviously, if he doesn't, you're sitting at $45 million in cap space right off the bat. So they've got options this offseason. They can make some moves. They can bring people in. So what would they look to do with that cap space if they had it? Well, I think the Heat are probably going to flirt with a guy like Brandon Ingram, who is a restricted free agent for the Pelicans. I definitely could see them flirting with him, offering a max contract and saying, Pelicans, you better match that and pay up or else we're taking him. I think the Pelicans would ultimately match that offer, but there's a chance that they don't. And if you get Brandon Ingram along with Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler, oh boy. Watch out for that, and also watch out for the development that Brandon Ingram would do with this Miami Heat franchise. So that would be scary. Who else could they look at? They could look at guys like Fred VanVleet, if you're looking to replace what you're getting out of Goran Dragic with a guy who's a little bit younger. You could look at a guy like Danilo Gallinari to add talent to the team, and potentially if you get rid of Olynyk, you know, you may have enough cap space to get both VanVleet and Gallinari. That may be a great way to go because then you're getting younger at that point guard spot. You still have a guy who can play, make, and shoot threes in VanVleet. Then you're also adding the scoring talent of a guy like Danilo Gallinari. Sheesh. Sheesh. I mean, at that point, what's that Heat starting lineup look like? You know, you got VanVleet, probably have Tyler Hero in there, Jimmy Butler, Gallinari, and Adebayo? Oh man. That would be a tough team to stop on the offensive end. Defense may have some struggles there, but VanVleet's a good defender. Tyler Hero's going to get better. Jimmy Butler's a great defender. Bam Adebayo's a great defender. So honestly, might not be that bad on defense either. So they've got options this offseason. Of course, they do have options as well to keep Iggy and Olynyk on the team, maybe sign another one-year deal, maybe bring back Dragic for a year plus a team option. You know, you do something like that, you can just transfer that cap space from this year into next offseason where you do have a ton of high-level guys who are going to be available. So there's tons of options for this Miami Heat team to get better than they already are. So all that considered, the Miami Heat are going to be a problem for years to come in the NBA, and they ain't going anywhere. They ain't going anywhere. They're only getting better from here. So the rest of the NBA, myself and my Jazz included, better watch out for this Miami Heat team because they will get better, they will be contending in the playoffs, and they will be a problem. So all that said, that covers everything that I've got to talk about with the Miami Heat following their loss in the NBA Finals in Game 6 to LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the Los Angeles Lakers, getting LeBron his fourth championship ring, Davis his first. So all that out the way, that adds everything that I had to add to this topic. As always, if you enjoy this channel and want to help it grow, the absolute best way to do so is to simply share this with your friends. So definitely hit that share button, send it to your social media accounts. And another thing that helps out a ton is if you subscribe to the channel. It is totally free and just tells YouTube that you want to see more of my content. Also, if you're going to consider subscribing, also consider hitting that notification bell that is right next to it. If you hit all on there, you can actually see every video that I upload without YouTube deciding for you that you don't want to see it. So definitely do that as well. Share, like, comment, subscribe. I think I said it all. 40 minutes into this, I'm not sure, but I'm going to leave it at that. All that out the way, I appreciate you guys tuning in, and I hope you have a great rest of your day. Peace.